this edition of So Ill, we hear from Carrie Smith about the impact of the Enos Park Community Garden in Springfield, Illinois. The garden is a partnership between the Enos Park Neighborhood Improvement Association and Coomer Outreach Ministries.
Hi, welcome back to the So Ill podcast. My name is Parker Allen. I'm a third-year medical student at the SIU School of Medicine, and I'm here with Carrie, and I'll have her introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Carrie Smith, and I manage the Enos Park Neighborhood Gardens.
Do you mind telling me just a little bit more about your role, like managing the community garden?
Sure. Our garden is run mostly through volunteers. I'm the only paid staff. And as such, I wear all the hats. I manage volunteers, I write grants, I do our social media, I organize our programming and things like that.
How long have you been working at the garden?
We just concluded what was my 7th season and the 14th season for the garden.
Okay. And can you tell me just a little bit more about the community garden, what kinds of things you do there?
Sure. We have several different parts of our garden. Our main focus is our 1,000 square foot communal garden, where we all work together to grow produce for our community. We also have 21 raised beds and 6 wheelchair accessible beds that we rent to personal plot gardeners each year, and that's open to everyone. We have a children's garden where we have children's programming in the form of a garden club that runs from May through August, as well as Eat a Rainbow, which are 6 weeks of ecology-based programming classes. We have a free farmers market that runs June through August. We have a prairie that we have, as well as several pollinator pockets. We have a You Pick Berry section that runs from May generally through June. We have a Come and Pick garden out front, which are 2 beds that are open to our community at all times for a few of our main crops. I think that's everything.
That's a lot of different things that's going on.
Yeah.
Can you talk just a little bit more about the community that it serves also, what area it's located in? And
sure. We are in the Enos Park neighborhood. We're at 1022 North 5th. We are on 3 formerly vacant lots. The Enos Park neighborhood is just north of the hospitals. And most of our neighborhood is located in the Mid-Illinois Medical District. I think the garden is just 2 blocks outside of it. The neighborhood is one of the most diverse in Springfield. We have a 51% poverty rate, but we have all kinds of people in our neighborhood, which I really enjoy the diversity.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then I know you mentioned the free farmers market is one of the ways like that you give some of that produce back. Can you talk about where like the produce that comes out of the garden ends up going?
Sure. The first place that we have our garden produce go to is to the volunteers who work in the garden. So typically what we do is we harvest once we're there and then we distribute to our volunteers, some of whom take very little and some of whom take, you know, their weekly share of produce. And what's left over we donate on Tuesdays to Coomer Outreach Ministries Food Pantry, which is located at 3rd and North Grand, so just outside of our neighborhood. We donate here and there to Intricate Minds, which is a community center on 6th and North Grand. And then, yes, on Saturdays, we have our free farmers market from June through the end of August. And that's from 10 to 11 on Saturdays. And get there at 10 because the produce goes quick.
Yeah, is the turnout pretty good for those?
It is. You know, some weeks we don't have very much turnout. If it's 95 at 9 a.m., we're probably not going to see a lot of people. But generally, as long as the weather is decent and there's not a lot of, you know, high-profile activities going on, we do see a lot of people, generally maybe 30 or 40 people.
And just touching on the community that you're in also, I know you mentioned that it's diverse, but also I know like with that elementary school there, nutrition is a big thing that the medical school pushes as far as volunteering goes, just because poverty level is pretty high in that area. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about like the statistics or like that general aspect of the community?
I can't say I know specific statistics besides the poverty rate, but I think that we live in a food desert. While we do technically have a grocery store in the form of County Market at 2nd and Carpenter in our neighborhood, it is priced in such a way that poor people cannot afford to shop there. Poor people in our neighborhood shop at the dollar store. There's a lot of basic foods that you can get there for, you know, $1.25. Now that we have inflation, it's no longer the dollar store.
Yeah.
But very little produce. You might find a dollar banana there, but you're not going to find, you know, kale and tomatoes and things like that.
Yeah, not a lot of fresh veggies.
Yes.
There as options.
Yes. And sadly, I feel like this is a generational thing. So if your parents don't eat vegetables, did not eat vegetables growing up, they're not going to fix them for you. You're not going to eat vegetables growing up. Your kids are not going to eat vegetables growing up. And that's one thing that we really are trying to create a path that if people want to be healthier, if they want to have fresh produce, they can access it.
Right. Yeah. And I know you mentioned that you do a lot of things with kids in the community too. I know there are like some classes and that like summer camp you were talking about. So I guess it's nice to start getting the kids involved in it.
A lot of what our education coordinator, that she's Alana Reynolds, and she's really great. She manages the Butler School Garden as well. She really has the kids try a lot of foods, and it's amazing to have a class of, you know, 6 to 8 kids all happily eating salad. It's quite remarkable to see.
And the next general topic I wanted to cover was just some of the accomplishments at the garden in terms of like how much produce that you actually are producing every year and just any like ongoing projects that you have going on.
Sure. So we've had statistics on our garden. We've weighed our produce for the last 3 years. This year was 1,400 pounds. Last year was 1,800 pounds. And the year before that was 1,200 pounds. This year, unfortunately, we had a lot of theft, so much theft that we ended up having to lock our gates. And so it wouldn't surprise me if our pounds of produce harvested was actually much higher than 1,400 pounds. But we also don't weigh all of our berries. We don't weigh the come and pick garden. So, you know, we produce a lot more than just what comes out of our communal garden. And as far as projects ongoing, we're in the midst of our last big infrastructure project, which is our greenhouse. We finally have enough funds. We are going through the molasses stage of getting all the paperwork ready to apply for the permit. And I am so impatient, but I'm very hopeful that it will be in the next week or two that we'll finally be able to apply for a permit and get the ball rolling. The greenhouse build is supposed to be in January. We'll see. I mean, it's supposed to be a wetter, colder winter, so we'll see how that all happens.
Yeah, that's exciting. What are your plans for the greenhouse in terms of what you want to grow in it or how you want it to be utilized?
Sure. We tend to grow, you know, basic 20 vegetables that people tend to eat, especially culturally relevant foods like okra and mustard and collard greens and tomatoes. So we'll definitely be growing all of our own seedlings. Our hope is that we can get them to the right size at the right time and ready to go into the garden so that it limits the amount of space we're actually using in the garden. We would also like to raise a lot of pollinator plants to give away. We're really big on native pollinators. And they can be quite expensive, definitely out of reach for probably a lot of the people in our neighborhood. So the more that we can distribute for free, the better, the more healthier our, you know, the specific ecology in our neighborhood it can be.
So as far as the seedlings go, is that another big part of the community garden operation in terms of having those ready for people to take home and have some plants accessible to them?
In the past, we have really relied on other people to grow our seedlings for us, specifically for the garden. But we also serve as a distribution site for, you know, people in the communities or in the community or people at nurseries. You know, random person will usually start far more starts than they have room for in their garden. And what did they do with these other 8 tomato plants that are still healthy? We serve as a place where people can donate those to us. And then we just on Saturdays we'll open it up and people will come and get them. Every year we have a partnership with Lincoln Memorial Garden that they will provide us their seedlings after their spring fundraiser. And so we distribute those every year, and it's usually some mix of vegetables, herbs, and native prairie plants.
Yeah, that's nice. Rather than just getting some seeds to take home, you get at least a started plant to get you going.
It's really helpful. It really helps extend the season as far as, you know, you start getting tomatoes in June rather than if you plant from seed, you might start getting them more in July. But yeah.
And then another thing I wanted to talk about is just like general partnerships that the community garden has, like how you're involved with different organizations in the community. So whether it's like the medical school or local healthcare services or other like community organizations, can you talk about some of the partnerships that you have there at the garden?
Sure. We usually I almost always say yes to collaborations as long as they're well thought out plans and seem feasible for us to do. So I always encourage people to approach me with ideas for collaboration. In the past, you know, our children's garden kind of just sprung together one spring. We actually had a partnership with SIU. One of the students applied for a CHOP grant on our behalf, which gave us funding for 3 beds in our children's garden, as well as the 2 out front in our come and pick garden. And then not long after that, I was approached by the Kidseum to create a mural in our children's garden, inspired by the mural that they were painting downtown. They have these multi-story pollinator murals that were painted by Jane Kim, who's a nationally known artist, and just amazing work. And then not long after that, we were approached by Waste and Recycling from the city as far as would we be interested in starting a pollinator garden. And so all of those components just kind of came together through people reaching out to us, which I found just, I love it when that happens. And we have really benefited from partnerships with SIU as well. I have my doubts that any of the higher ups at SIU have even heard of our garden, but different parts of SIU have definitely reached out and helped tremendously. We had for a couple years Operation Taproot, which was part of the Office of Community Care. We had 2 community health workers who were embedded in our garden to field questions and assist people who had not just medical needs, but, you know, different kind, like how do I get to a food pantry? Those kinds of, you know, how do I set up a doctor's appointment? Those kinds of needs. Every year we've had students in the SIU Day of Service who have come and helped out. It used to be in the spring and it was phenomenal. That's how we got our garden ready. Every spring was the group of students. And now it's in the fall, but that's always at the time where we have been spending so much time in our communal garden, we've ignored all the other parts of our garden so we can concentrate on raising food. So it's always nice to have people come in and, you know, weed our strawberry beds, clean up our fence lines, things that always get pushed to the back burner because we just have limited time. We have wellness exams that have been performed by health depots, as well as Dr. McCarty and Dr. Flack, and possibly more doctors. I apologize, I can't remember everyone. But these are great. These are, you know, low barrier access to basic health care. A lot of people are not going to make a doctor's appointment. They're not going to travel to a doctor's office, and they're not going to sit in a waiting room around a bunch of sick people and wait. I have heard this so many times, but if they're grabbing fresh vegetables and someone says, hey, how about we check out your health, they're way more likely to sit down. And especially when it's a doctor who looks like them, as far as the health depots are great. There's so many people of color who come out to help. And I feel like when our residents see that, they just instantly have a little more trust, which absolutely. I think is great. We also have students who help out with our free farmers market, as far as the Culinary Med Interest Group has helped out in creating recipes that we give away for free. These are, we aim toward the crossroads of health and nutrition, health and taste, using common pantry ingredients and what we have available fresh in the garden. And then they also have been providing samples for the last several years, as far as every week we harvest and provide them food, or sometimes they have harvested themselves and create a recipe and serve it at our free farmers market. And that's really important because, you know, I grew up eating vegetables, but it was like spinach that's been boiled for 3 hours. I grew up with my grandparents, so not appealing, did not grow up liking vegetables, never tasted things like broccoli or Brussels sprouts as a child, never, probably would not have liked it had it been boiled for 3 hours. But for people who, you know, what is kale? Do you like kale? And the answer is always no.
Yeah.
But if you have a recipe that tastes good and you have the opportunity to try it and find out that kale is actually really delicious, it's also really nutritious for you. So that's helped quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I feel like the community garden has really like turned into this place where we get like the intersection of all of these different aspects that like the Environment and Health Club that runs this podcast is kind of all about. You've got like the environmental part where it's a pretty sustainable garden over there and you're, you know, doing things like having local pollinator plants, and then you've got like the health checkups, you've got nutrition on board, and then it's also just kind of integrated into that community. And even with the murals tied in like downtown, it's really cool to see that like this garden that you're managing has turned into kind of a bed for all of that to mix together.
Yeah, thank you.
And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is just some of the impact on the community in terms of anything you've seen. Like if you have any, you know, personal anecdotes or stories of impacts that you've seen or anyone telling you that it's made like a positive impact on their life or their overall wellness, or even if it's just I eat vegetables now and I definitely wouldn't without you.
Yeah, I can think of a few things that warmed my heart or touched my heart. One is every year without fail at our free strawberry you pick, I hear these sort of moans of delight coming from the strawberry patch and people saying, I did not know strawberries tasted like this, which if you've ever had a, you know, sun-warmed strawberry fresh from the garden, you know it does not taste anything like, you know, grocery store strawberries. As far as our impact, just there's so many people who are food insecure, and this happened, like, right now with SNAP being suspended, it's a lot of food insecurity, but that food insecurity is always there, always there. And especially when it comes to things like vegetables and fresh produce, and trying to buy affordable, you know, organic produce is just out of reach for a lot of people. But I remember during the early days of the pandemic, and this might have been like 2021 when we first started our free farmers market, we had someone who came to the garden who was like almost in tears as far as her husband had long COVID. He had just lost his job. And for the first time ever, they were food insecure and she had no money for food. And when she saw our free farmers market, she was just surprised that someone was giving away fresh produce. And I helped her carry a basket to the car of produce. And she did start crying and she was just so thankful. And I think it's not just the produce, but to know that someone is like caring about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone cares that you're hungry, that you're having a hard time. That's a big deal. And another woman who came who said she'd had a doctor's appointment and the doctor said, if you do not change how you live right now, how you eat, you're not going to make it. And she was like, okay. So she went to the grocery store and she was like, well, great. I can't afford any of this stuff. And so when she came to the garden, it was really like she was learning how to like eat and prepare vegetables because it just wasn't part of her culture growing up. And over the years, you know, seeing people continue to come back to the market and then they start telling me stories of like, oh yeah, I went to this orchard and picked a bunch of peaches and canned them for winter, so I'll have fresh fruit all winter. And it's like, here's someone who went from, you know, packaged foods to like canning. It's yeah. Just really incredible to see sometimes.
Yeah, that's super rewarding, I feel like, just yeah. To yeah, get to see those direct impacts that you've yeah. had. And then my last question for you is, what do you feel like has been the most like meaningful or rewarding part in managing the garden so far?
There's so much, so much that I have to be thankful for in this place. You know, one thing is just been seeing it grow over the years. Every year we try to add something new. I feel like I'm kind of, you know, next season will be my 8th year, and I think it'll be the last for adding new big things. Mm-hmm. but for me, it's really just like an investment in the community where I live. For a lot of poor people who do not have access to like the money economy, community is what we have. It's where we invest our time and our care, and it's where we have our wealth. And I feel like that's just so important. For me right now, personal anecdote, when SNAP was suspended, my family received SNAP, and it was suspended the same day my husband was laid off. So it was like, wow, we're winning the anti-lottery here. But I had so many people tell me, if you need something, let me know. I had a friend who gifted me our SNAP benefit amount on a card so that we would not be hurting for November's groceries. You know, that kind of community is something that I feel like when I'm managing the garden, that's just investing in that community.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've volunteered there some, and I've seen that community firsthand, and the people who are there regularly, you can tell it's a tight-knit group and everybody's looking out for each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you for doing the podcast. I also just want to thank you for all that you do over there at the garden. I think from everything we've talked about, it's clear that you make a pretty big impact in a lot of different areas and the Springfield community as a whole, but especially in that Enos Park area. And it's not work that I think goes unseen or unnoticed. So I appreciate all the work that you do.
Well, thank you for your kind words. And we always appreciate volunteers. SIU students make wonderful volunteers, so we always appreciate your investment in us as well.
Yeah, we enjoy going out there, honestly. It's nice, especially when the weather's good.
Yeah, it's much nicer when it's not 104, yeah.
Yeah, get outside a little bit, a break from the bucks.
Great.
But yeah, thank you for coming on the podcast. Yeah,
thank you.
Carrie Smith is garden manager for the Enos Park Community Garden. Tune in next time for another enlightening episode of So Ill. This podcast is a collaborative production between the SIU School of Medicine and WSIU Public Broadcasting. You can find more episodes at wsiu.org.